We've read some verses with you tonight about Felix. And Felix, the governor, he was a former slave. And when he was released, he was made governor by a man called Claudius. And there are many people in his jurisdiction who greatly regretted the day that he ever was put into that position. Because when you read church history about Felix, he goes down in history as a man who was responsible, as one man said, for more atrocities than anyone before him or anyone who came after him. He was a man of the same ilk as Manasseh in the Old Testament or Saul of Tarsus. Saul, who became Paul, was blinded by religious allegiance. He was a terrorist. He put people to death for no other reason than their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Manasseh, he was, from his early days, in spite of his Christian upbringing, he was an out-and-out rebel. And he had enough power of persuasion in his life and personality to command the following of many others whom he led astray. But I'm sure many of you know tonight the story of these two characters, Manasseh and Saul. And when they were personally in difficult circumstances, their lives were transformed for eternity. Paul was on his way to do more damage when the Lord took a dealing with him on the Damascus Road. And from that day, when the Lord opened his eyes spiritually to his need of Christ and saved him there, Paul was a man who was willing to spend and be spent for the work of God and the extension of God's kingdom. The other character that we mentioned, Manasseh, he was a man and his hands dripped with the blood of the innocent, such as his way of living. But whenever he was in great difficulty, and all of the human props that were around him were gone, he called upon the Lord. And he became a reformer. And those who had been following him in his despicable deeds, they now threw their weight behind him as he sought to be a champion for the Lord. The power of sin that marked and even dominated the lives of both of these men, Manasseh and Saul, it was challenged, and they were changed forever. They found a new faith. They found a new family, that is, the family of God. And they found new friends. And that's what all of us have done who have come and trusted the Lord and been saved. We're back to Felix. Felix, as I said a few minutes ago, his characteristics were very similar to Manasseh and Saul. He had outstanding opportunities. But ladies and gentlemen, he squandered them all. Because he goes down in history, not in the way that Saul did or Paul did or Manasseh did. These were men who were challenged and changed. Felix was challenged, but there was never any change. And it is to him that I want to draw your attention this evening. Challenged, but not changed. And as we do that, we refer you to those words in verse 25 as he reasoned. Well, let's have a wee look at the circumstances here and the context as he reasoned. Certain things come to mind. Number one, Felix was careless. Felix was a man whose reputation preceded him. His life was mostly about chasing after that which pleased himself. Feelings of people, to say that the feelings of people didn't matter would be an understatement. He was outrageous in his behavior. He was also known as a man of perpetual adjournment. When changes needed to be made around the area that would be for the benefit of the people, he put them off. The changes, that is. And then he put them off again. And he really epitomized a very self-centered individual in all that he did. He was a notorious character. And he lived a carefree life because he was careless in the sense that he could not care for his soul. He did not care what anyone thought of the way that he behaved. He was one who, in everything that he did, he displayed an attitude that shows him to be one, even though the Bible says there that he had more perfect knowledge of that way being Christianity, that Paul was talking about now. Even though that was the case, he was a man who was never troubled about what other individuals thought. And it's very evident as we go down through these verses that his soul's need was something that troubled him, I believe, in a very small way, perhaps, as we see in these verses. But overwhelmingly, he was a careless man. You know, the Bible says something to us over there in Jeremiah. And it's Jeremiah chapter 50. Verse 23 and 24. It says, "How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How has Babylon become a desolation among the nations?" And then, verse 24, "I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware. Thou art found, and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord." This is a very fitting description of this man, Felix. The Lord says to him there, "Thou wast not aware, and thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord." And is that not a very accurate picture of many men and women today? Striving against the Lord. Living in a way that is in total opposition to the way that God has laid out in his word. The catechism asks us, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Many are going another way. Again, in the book of Jeremiah, if you could look at chapter 8, I'll read it for you. It's just Jeremiah chapter 8. And so verse 7 says there, the illustration here is of creatures, not human creatures, but birds and animals. It says, "Yea, the stork of heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming," or the time, the appointed times means the time of migration. "But my people know not the judgment of the Lord." Here are creatures who knew when to migrate. They knew where to go to. And they knew how to go. And when I was a boy, I used to love watching the swallows in the autumn time lining up on the telephone wire just before they flew off to warmer country when winter was coming. They knew the warning signs were there that the weather was going to change and they needed to be up and off. And what a lesson we learn from them and from some of the turtles as well and other creatures that are mentioned here. The Lord says here, and the illustration is plain for us, "But my people know not the judgment of the Lord." It is amazing how many people can remain so careless to spiritual matters, irrespective of the opportunities that the Lord has given to them. There's a verse at the very beginning of Lamentations in chapter 1, and it brings us to Christ. It's verse 12. And of course, these words are referring to Christ. It says, "It is nothing to you, all ye that pass by. Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger." And people hear about the cross and the necessity of Calvary, and it's nothing to them. The Bible says here concerning this, in this verse, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?" If you're interested in something, you'll stop. But there's no interest. And they're passing by. And there are many, many people around here without going any further. And they are pleasant individuals. They have a care for their fellow man. They are peaceable men and women. They are well liked, but they are very careless when it comes to the matter of their soul's well-being. The Bible tells us, and indeed these are words of warning, "Beware lest he take you away with a stroke and his wrath is kindled but a little." The Bible tells us, "Kiss the Son lest he be angry." And that is referring to embracing the Lord Jesus Christ. And again and again and again, the Bible exhorts us to pay heed to him and to come to him, to come to him as we are. But there's carelessness. Felix was careless. A man told me one time, he was up in hospital visiting some individual. And this is a very unusual occurrence. I know that because in my experience, the vast, vast majority of medical staff that I've been talking to or had to deal with there, they've been more than helpful and very pleasant. And that has always been my experience. But he went in to see this individual anyway. And one of the staff, for some reason or other, again, I say this is very unusual, so it's not indicative of the way that nurses are, that's for sure, but he asked where the individual was, and he happened to have his clerical collar on that day. And the nurse laughed at him with his collar. And she says, "What's that about?" And he says, "Well, my job is to preach the gospel. That's what I do." And she laughed. And she said, "When you look around you here in hospital, do you really think that there's a God?" And he said, "Well," he says, "I can greatly empathize with people who are suffering. And why some of it happens, I can't answer any more than you can. But I can tell you this personally. In Psalm 53 and 1, it says, 'The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God.'" And then he went a little bit further and he said, "Actually, where it says there is in italics in the Bible, and says, 'The fool has said in his heart, no God.'" And that's exactly what you're doing. And dear, that's exactly what you are. That's exactly what you are. What carelessness. And men and women, there's such carelessness today. But then when you think of it another way, man is naturally careless. How can it be any other way? He's born with original sin. When he's of little age, he becomes involved in actual transgression, and many through a lifetime allow their minds to be occupied then with other things. So it was with Felix. He knew quite a bit, but whenever Paul reasoned, he was reasoning to a careless man, because Felix was careless. But as Paul reasoned, not only was Felix careless, Felix was confronted. Now, I've probably said enough about Felix tonight, that he was a ruthless governor. He was very selfish. He didn't have the best interest of his people in mind in the way that he governed and behaved. He was very unlikable, that kind of character. And words probably, as we would say, they ran off him like water off a duck's back. He just didn't care. When Paul spoke to him and reasoned, he didn't speak in malice. Please be clear on that. But he spoke for Felix's benefit. You see, Paul, when he preached, and this we touched on this morning, when Paul preached, he knew that there was no difference in men. The Bible says, in the eyes of God, the Bible says, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it didn't matter to Paul whether he was speaking to a youthful recruit into the army or he was speaking here to the governor himself. It didn't matter. He needed to hear the same message. And it says there in that verse 25 that he reasoned of righteousness. So now he's before Felix. He's confronting him with this message. The word righteousness there is a word that actually means justice. Good word to speak to him about. It was his job to dispense justice as the governor. Did it very unfairly and very harshly. But his authority, the authority that he exercised, the commentators tell us, was nearly always at the point of the sword. So he was a ruthless man. And here's this man who's been defending himself and giving his testimony, telling how the Lord saved him and what preaching the gospel meant to him. And he's saying, Governor, I want to speak to you for a moment about, well, it says, he reasoned there of righteousness, or the word means justice. He was right to the point. He was saying, Felix, things are not the way they should be. Actually, if you read the history of Felix and some of the church historians, he had murdered a high priest. He was one of the most notable tyrants, if I've already mentioned that. And because of what he did, he had to have a guilt-riddled life. And now here's this, in his eyes, nobody standing up before him. He's saying, hold on a minute, you've given me the opportunity to speak here, and I'm just going to tell you it as it is. That's what preaching ought to be about. Not in malice, but talking to men and women as they are, and telling them how it is. Over there in the Psalm number 14, it says there in the verse 2, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And you know, Felix came into that band. He looks down today. There are so many. And the balance in their life isn't right. How can it be? Of course, maybe they wouldn't be as notorious as Felix, but what is sin? The Catechism says sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Every man must put his hand up and say guilty. He reasoned of righteousness, and you can see him really getting Felix's attention now. And perhaps it was going over his mind, well, Paul, you've been very personal about this. Well, the Bible is very personal. And preaching has to be personal. He reasoned of righteousness, or justice as the word is, but he reasoned of temperance. Now things would really be heating up, because the word temperance there means chastity. Oh, he had his wife there. Drusilla was her name. The big problem, as Paul saw it, was that at the same time she was married to a man called King Azizos. And now you can imagine not only Felix's attention, getting Felix's attention, but certainly getting Drusilla's attention as well. There may have been agitation at this thing, but Paul was being straightforward in his preaching. He reasoned of righteousness, he reasoned of temperance or chastity, but he reasoned of judgment to come. And confronting this man and saying, Felix, one day we will all reap what we have sown. And I've no doubt that he said words to him of the effect that if you die as you're now living, then the judgment of God will fall upon you. How he confronted him. But you'll not find any words of hatred or any words there to show that he resented this man, even though he had every reason not to like him. But what he said in love. And yet it was so personal and so direct and so right to the point. But Folks, it was exactly what Felix needed to hear. Gospel preaching is not about tickling your ears. We love to speak about the love of God, and that's true, and it's so important. And to display it in our lives. And to always remember that, as the children sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." It's a lovely little piece to sing. But as we preach to men tonight, we have to say that if you are not saved, then you are a sinner. If you have never come to faith in Jesus Christ, then there's enmity between you and God. If you cannot say with assurance, "It's well with my soul, and one day I know I will be in glory with the Lord," then you're on the broad road to hell. And that is not said in malice, but it's said in love to your soul. And that is what confronts all of us tonight. The question is, what about sin and me? What about sin and me? Felix was careless. And some of you have been careless too, perhaps. Felix was confronted. But I have to add here that Felix was also concerned. Sometimes in gospel meetings, concern is masked or it is hidden away. But actually, he was pretty concerned, because the Bible tells us there that Felix trembled. Verse 25, it literally means that he shook violently. So at least he was listening. And if you look there in verse 26, it says there that he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. So he listened, as he listened to what Paul had to say, even though things in the preaching were pointed and very direct, he wanted to hear it again and again and again. Because he was concerned. Truth always, or we pray, will always unsettle unsaved people. It's truth unchanged, unchanging. And we love people generally and for the Lord. But we want truth to unsettle you if you're not saved. Because if you're settled in your sin and you die in that state, then there's nothing I can do for you. But Felix here, he was concerned. And I just want to say, here's a thought tonight. Here was a man who was smug in his sin. Now he's troubled because Paul has confronted him with his great need, and he is concerned. Someone said that in Acts chapter 24, the gospel spoiled the party. Well, that's good, because it did spoil the party. All the pomp that was associated with Felix and Drusilla, he was a show-off. And as I said, he was impetuous as well. Notorious. Very, very selfish. And now he's greatly concerned. The gospel has come along and it's thrown a spanner in the works. Because here's a man who loved the sin and now he's concerned. And dear unsafe person tonight, if you are listening, whether here in sermon audio, I trust that the gospel will spoil your party. Not, and I don't say that in an aggressive way, but I trust that what we say will make you sit up and take heed and be concerned. And it's you. It's you tonight. That brings me to another point. Felix was not only concerned here and confronted, concerned, confronted, and careless, but Felix was cornered. You see, it was no one else. It was as though there was only Paul and Felix on earth at that time. This was a message for him. It seems to be a human natural thing to pass the buck. If you hear a message that goes against the grain, you kind of think, well, that'll do him. And that's what he needs to hear. There are people like you who think like that. And the tendency is, and again, it's a human thing, there are worse than me. Well, I'm not arguing with that. That is not the point. point is that if God has come along tonight and he singled you out in your carelessness, and he's confronted you with it and shown you your sin for what it is, and you're concerned now, you're cornered because it's you that God is dealing with, nobody else. It's you that God is dealing with tonight. But there's something here, and we can't miss this. There's Felix's companion. It's called Drusilla. And there is a pattern in the Bible, if you look at it, the book of Acts, Mark's Gospel, in Acts chapter 26 and 30. You have there Agrippa. He's the man who came along. And he listened to Paul, and he said, whenever Paul was preaching, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But then there was Bernice with her great pomp. She was the stumbling block. Remember Herod in Mark chapter 6 and verse 26. Who loved John the Baptist, certainly liked him, came and listened to him many a time. Was willing to go down even to where he was in the cell and to listen to him there. And then he had him beheaded. I wonder, when you read that passage, do you ever wonder why? Well, I'll tell you why. It says there in verse 26, and the king was exceeding sorrow, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. That was the young girl who had danced. Yes, we believe he had an unhealthy interest in her. He was a notorious character. But his companion, stumbling block. Herod's a man who did many things, but he never come to the Lord. It seems that Agrippa, while he was almost persuaded to be a Christian, he was never altogether persuaded. And here we have Felix then. He's got Drusilla with him. But what about her? No doubt that thought's in his mind. Sending for Paul time and again to listen to him. And I ask the question to you again tonight. What's your stumbling block? What holds you back? Is it a friendship, even a relationship? Maybe not someone, but something. A love for something else. How many times has this been the stumbling block to men and women getting right with God? His companion. One final thought about Felix. Felix continued as he was. For it says there in verse 27, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, he left Paul bound. Everything was in place for there to be a huge change in this man's life. His testimony could have been like Paul's. It could have been like Manasseh's. Old things could have been passed away. He could have had a new start, a bright prospect, an assured future with the Lord himself. And he could have left the presence of Paul here a justified soul in time and for eternity. But he just turned his back and he walked away from it all. And we hear nothing more of him. I said half an hour ago that he had great opportunity. And so he did. And here we have him in Acts 24, a converted terrorist preaching to him, preaching the gospel of love and truth, pointing out the awfulness of sin and the wrath of God that is coming, the judgment of God that was coming. What great mercy and opportunity. And he simply swept it all aside. Felix is the man who was challenged, but not changed. And as we've drawn your attention to this man tonight, challenged but not changed, we've done so not just as a history lesson, but that you might be not only challenged, but that you might be changed. And that change comes when we repent. It's called repentance unto life. It's not deciding to follow Jesus or the Jesus way. It is repentance from sin and repentance unto life. That brings the change. Felix was challenged, but not changed. And I pray tonight, and I hope that if you're listening, wherever you are, that thank you for listening. Trust that you'll be changed. Many here have been changed, and we can tell about that. But we trust that you will be changed tonight, and we trust the Lord will bless these few words to all of your hearts this evening.